back to the stories that shaped my childhood, there's a couple that really shine above the rest. Two are Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which are both, of course, elevated by the magic of Dick Van Dyke, who was always ageless on screen, larger than life, energetic, cheeky. And the remarkable thing is he's still like that. If you watch an interview from like this year, he's the same whirlwind of enthusiasm and he's getting ready to celebrate his 100th birthday this weekend. And Dick Van Dyke's near century has got me wondering, what's the real secret to aging well? Is it mindset and your attitude? Is there more to it than that? So today I have corralled an aging expert and a different kind of aging expert, a 95-year-old trailblazer who says he's never retiring. They're going to help us crack the code this morning. But I would also love to hear from you. If you think you are aging well, give me your secret to the fountain of youth, especially if you're in your 80s, 90s, or even past 100. What do you credit your aging well to? Well, Everald Compton is 94 and he says he never plans to retire. He has founded National Seniors Australia. He was the first general manager of St Andrew's Hospital in Brisbane and he has advised every Australian Prime Minister since Robert Menzies. Everald, you have done so much in your life. Surely you should be allowed to retire by now.
Well, I actually, first of all, good to talk to you, Tegan, but I actually despise the word retire. I think the word retire indicates that you've made a commitment to die in a hurry. I believe that longevity happens if you remain very active and involved in the community. And I mean, you're active playing golf or swimming or whatever. You're out in society with people. You're doing things. You've got part-time work. You're doing community work. That all the research that's done by aging experts around the world show that unless cancer or heart disease comes out of left field, if you stay in work, don't retire. You may cut down the volume of work, but if you stay working, you're likely to live 5 years longer than your mates that go off to play golf. And I think that's an incentive, but also it means that life's exciting. I mean, I'm very grateful when I wake up every morning, by the way. I'm terribly grateful. But I decide, well, I've woken up, I'm going to do something, and I stay involved in a range of activities which I find exciting. They're not drudgery at all, and the directorships I have on companies are things that keep me alive and alert and enable me to have partnerships with younger people. I get invited onto boards where they feel an old guy must have a bit of wisdom, whether that's true or not. But it forms a partnership with younger people who've got expertise, technology expertise that I don't have in the slightest. And that all makes life worth living. I intend to die doing some activity. I'm not going to be sitting in a nursing home and waiting for, you know, the last curtain call. And I think Dick Van Dyke lived to 100 because, well, I think it helps if we all have good genes. Can I say that to start off with? But Dick Van Dyke is a bloke who had a passion for what he did. He, behind that casual person in Mary Poppins and whatever you, the relaxed guy, the happy guy, there was a passion for his trade as an actor, as a performer, as a whatever you want to call him. And I believe that passion fired him up to be 100. And I believe passion for something is an important element in life. But Dick Van Dyke was able to exercise that passion within a relaxed sort of way. There's so many people who exercise passion to the extent that they have a heart attack over it. he had a skill at exercising his passion in a pleasant, casual way that captivated people like you and me.
Well, Everald, I'm really interested. You've mentioned a couple of things there that you reckon is linked to aging well. We actually do have a researcher with us today who maybe we can sense check a few of those things with. Professor Nancy Pahana works in clinical geropsychology at the University of Queensland. Nancy, I've heard Everald say never retire. I've heard passion and good genes. How on the money is he?
Well, I've also heard Everald say many times that he's not going to retire, and I have a huge admiration for that. And he's right on the money in identifying passion, his own passion, and also Dick Van Dyke's passion. And the retirement, the aging literature says that if you have meaning, purpose, passion in life, that these are key elements. If you are lacking that, you are, as Everald said, you know, more likely to wither away.
What about health? Exercise and diet and all of those other things that get drummed into us?
But here's the thing: like, if you don't have passion and a reason to wake up, right? So first of all, you're going to be less inclined to say, "Well, why should I?" You know, exercise or eat right. And one of the things that stops people from doing that, which Dick Van Dyke is a great poster for, is not listening to ageist attitudes that you should stop, that you should just quietly slip away, right? That you should withdraw from life. But if people internalize those ageist attitudes, they won't take care of their health. They won't take care of their mental health. They won't reach out to other people and maintain their social networks, right? And that is really then going to further erode their health. So yes, of course, there's people with pre-existing health conditions and people who have various lengths of life because of those things. But you can always optimize your health by having that kind of positive attitude and really working on the things that give you purpose and meaning in life.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Professor Nancy Pahana, who is a geropsychologist specialising in older people and their health, especially mental health, and Everald Compton, who's 94, will never retire. He's said it before. He's said it again here on Life Matters. And I'm asking you what your tricks are to aging well, especially if you're in your 80s, 90s or beyond. I'm very much enjoying your text this morning. Chris says, I follow Everald on social media. He's a treasure. Tim says, my wife, Jerry, is 80. She's far too busy running the bowls club to message you herself, but she says, keep busy and keep taking the tablets. And Alison in Inverloch says, my father is 98. He has routines, eats well, exercises daily, spends time in the garden, sings and yodels. He sees himself and his life as important and contributing. Everald, have you considered adding yodeling to your repertoire?
Well, I'm willing to try anything. I mean, at my age, you've got nothing to lose by trying anything, even if you make a go to yourself in doing it. But I mean, I try and exercise every day walking. Now, I've got to say that when the temperature gets to 35, I have to coax myself very hard to get out and walk. But in normal temperatures, I exercise every day. But I exercise my brain every day too. I read 5 books at a time, one on history, one on religion, one on money, one on politics, and one a novel to excite me. And I read a chapter of each one after the other each night, and then the next night I've got to come back and remember where I was in all those things and who the characters were and what have you. And I enjoy the mind exercise in feeling real good when I can remember what the scenes were from 5 different books. And I think that helps to keep our minds active. When our minds are active, we're more likely to get involved in the community and get involved in good causes and do things, give our money away, all those things. And so attitude is an enormous influence in the whole matter, isn't it?
Nancy, should we all be reading 5 books a night? Everyone's absolutely putting me to shame over here.
Well, I think that it's different strokes for different folks. I mean, I think reading is a great activity. I will say that if you add a social component, being in a book club, then you're both exercising your mind and building new social relations.
Yeah, the other thing, though, that's... And I really should join a book club. I just...
That's right.
find some time to do it. But I agree with Nancy.
Well, Everald, I've just taken up a new hobby, and that's also something that improves aging well. I have started to learn how to play the flute. It's like a sort of a big recorder. Wow. So are you going to, you should take up an instrument. I think, you know, reading five books a day, you got to expand, Everald.
Well, I've got to admit that to a few weaknesses here, you know, here and there. I mean, of all the genes that I was given at birth or whatever, music, the ability for me to sing or play a musical instrument or do something was not one of the genes that I landed with. I mean, if I put on a concert, there'd be two and a dog there, and the dog would be the most enthusiastic. And, you know, we'd be, I'm hopeless at music. I sing in the shower every morning, but the neighbours complain. But, I think the skill for me, but I'm impressed that you play the flute. I hope it's the magic flute.
Actually, it's funny you say that you weren't blessed with that gene, Everald. On the text line, Margaret's advice to a long life is choose your parents carefully. She also adds, look after yourself, especially exercise. Avoid accidents by knowing safety and only get your health info from reliable sources. Excellent advice, Margaret. May I suggest an ABC podcast called What's That Rash? There's also a text here from Gretchen in Canberra who says, you've not discussed age discrimination and disability discrimination. When told not to retire, this doesn't give credit to those over 60 who face rampant discrimination. Age discrimination is very real. Nancy, what do we need to change here?
Well, I actually study retirement, and the listener is exactly correct. There is a lot of trouble people have of gaining employment when they're over 50 because of ageist attitudes. And the World Health Organization has said that one in two people globally, and that includes Australian data, shows that people hold moderately to severely ageist attitudes. They think older adults can't do things. They think that they're not worth hiring, even though they have all of this wealth of experience and things that they want to give. The other thing is that there are some people that do have to retire early. It could be due to illness, people who are in jobs that have a heavy physical component, you know, may not be able to continue. But all of these people can still give back to the community, to be very involved and productive, right? But absolutely, ableism, ageism, really create huge barriers for us to realize the full potential of people in the latter half of life.
So, Everald, if someone's going, okay, fine, yeah, I do want to live better, I do want to live longer, what's your advice to them briefly?
Talking about discrimination to start off with, we all suffer discrimination in one form or another. Women suffer discrimination. Indigenous people have it. Aged people have it. And there's discrimination around everywhere. And people who discriminate against me, I just tell them to get lost. And if somebody doesn't want me involved in some project, I often find a couple of people who want to get involved in the project with me, and we do it in spite of all the critics around the place. Discrimination is a part of life, and I think we can turn it into an asset if we handle it the right way. But I firmly believe that we've got to wake up every day and think, well, there's something new I can do today that I haven't done before. There's some boundary out there that I haven't crossed. There's some hill I haven't climbed. And we've got to have an active mind and look at all the possibilities. I make it my business every day to phone up someone who I think is going through tough times. I keep note of all the friends I have, and I find that ringing up a person who's having a really tough time and listening to them and adding a bit of advice and giving a bit of help, if I can, stimulates my reason for being. And one of the greatest problems of growing old is loneliness. There's lots and lots of older people who live alone, and they're particularly people I phone because there's nothing worse than loneliness as a scourge in life. And loneliness happens because we lock ourselves away and don't get out amongst other people because we're too shy or something or other. But loneliness is something Australian society has to face up to in a big way and do something about.
Everil, you sound like someone it's so valuable to have in your life. I think if you're one of Everil's mates, you're really, really lucky. Nancy, is it ever too late to kind of go, you know, if you're in your 90s and you kind of go, I'd like to make it to 100, is it too late to make changes?
It's never too late to make changes. On a physical level, the day you quit smoking, no matter your age, your lungs will start to recover. They have given weights to people in nursing homes living with dementia in their 80s, and they can gain muscle mass. Everyone can reach out, like Everald is doing, and reach out to their community and maintain or perhaps build up new social connections, maybe even intergenerational social connections. Never too late to make friends. And in terms of passion, I think really thinking about this is something that it's good if you think about it at an earlier age. What are the things that you're passionate about? But passions evolve. And, you know, there's always room for people to pursue their passions. But we as a community have to welcome older people into our passions and allow them to pursue their passions.
Never too late to start, never too early to start. Nancy, Everil, thank you both so much for joining me. Everil Compton is 94. He says he never plans to retire. He is now who I want to be when I grow up. And Professor Nancy Pahana works in clinical geropsychology at the University of Queensland. On the text line, Peter says, I'm 64. My doctors say I should live into my late 80s to late 90s. I eat wholesome food, sleep 6 to 8 hours, and exercise 3 times a week. Most importantly, I don't get stressed. I'm educated both formally and informally in technical and soft skills. Soft skills include setting realistic goals and understanding people. Another text says, never retire is good advice, but change your career to something less stressful if work is killing you is also smart.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.